The wisdom of God is not always soft and cuddly like a teddy bear. It's consoling, it's encouraging, it's freeing, it's precious, but it's also challenging and it's sometimes quite sharp. Anyone who ponders the word, as I see members of the pondering groups here, knows this, knows that the word of God is not always soft and cuddly either. In fact, we started this week with the challenging words of the Lord, who told us to love our enemies and to pray for our persecutors and to turn the other cheek and to give without expecting return. Those are all very challenging words of wisdom. Well, we have been reading from the book of Sirach this week, and we've encountered both the beauty of wisdom and also its challenging aspects. Today's reading from Sirach reminds us of both of these, but mainly the warning of Sirach today is not to take God's goodness and power and mercy for granted, not to try to manipulate God or try to bargain with him or try to trick him into being merciful. No. God is the source of wisdom. We're not wiser than he is. We don't pull any fast one on God. So the reading tells us, don't walk around as if you have power or as if you can prevail or as if your strength and your wealth and your goodness is good enough to change everything. No, we belong to God. Even when it comes to God's mercy, we're being warned not to presume on his mercy, not to act as if he's so merciful that it doesn't matter what we do. No. That's putting us in charge again. Maybe this line stood out for you because it sounds like a contradiction of what we know about the mercy of God. The reading says, "Say not, great is his mercy, my many sins he will forgive." Why shouldn't we say that? It's true. It's true. Great is his mercy. Our many sins he will forgive. Well, the warning here is not against claiming the mercy of God. It's against claiming the mercy of God without repentance. So don't say God is so merciful that I can keep sinning and sinning and sinning because God will forgive me anyway. No. Repentance is what opens the door to the infinite treasure of God's mercy. And if we don't repent, well, then we close the door on ourselves. The reading mentions a few times the wrath of God. This is always a troubling topic for believers and unbelievers. How can a God of love, a God of infinite power and goodness, be a God of wrath? Here it says that we should not delay our conversion or put it off from day to day, for suddenly his wrath flames forth. Doesn't sound very good to us. Doesn't sound soft and cuddly to us. What the Word of God is doing is warning us against placing ourselves above God or claiming to determine how God is going to treat us. No, the wise way to live is to submit to God, to allow God's mercy and power to reign. Then we won't experience his love as wrath, we will experience it as consolation. Well, this image of fire comes up not only in the first reading, but also in the gospel, which is another reading full of sharp edges. A lot of talk about unquenchable fire, eternal fire of Gehenna, and how important it is not to go there, not to do anything or not to cling to anything that will put us at risk of eternal loss. So yes, the reading starts out with a very consoling word about getting a reward for giving a cup of water to someone, but then it launches into this warning against leading the little ones into sin. Better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around our neck than to cause someone else, especially one of the little ones, to sin. It's a message about how serious this business is. And then three different examples of it being better to cut off a part of the body than to keep our body intact and end up in eternal fire. Better to enter into life crippled, or with one eye, or with one hand, or one foot, than to be completely perfect in our physical integrity and lose our soul. This business of fire, I think, we can understand it if we reflect on even our natural use of fire. Fire, after all, is a great gift. It's a great gift to have. We use it for cooking. We use it for heating things. We use it in our cars. We use it for electricity. I mean, fire is really useful to us. And we're right to make good use of fire. But if we misuse it, or if we let it get out of hand, it's very destructive, explosive, dangerous. We saw the case of those terrible fires in California last month or 6 weeks ago, wiping out whole neighborhoods, and the firefighters could do nothing about it. All these expensive mansions were being burned to the ground. No one could do anything about it. It was fire out of control. Well, the wisdom of God and the love of God is something like fire. If we are submitted to it and we use it in its proper way, if we use the wisdom of God properly, it's a precious, precious gift. And it enhances life extraordinarily. But if we let go of fire, if we don't discipline ourselves, well, then we get burned. So Jesus says here, there's this fire of Gehenna which never burns out, and you don't want to go there. But then he says, everyone will be salted with fire. I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but it sounds like a salt shaker. You know, it was sprinkled with fire, and perhaps it's a allusion to what happened on Pentecost. Remember on Pentecost, the Lord sprinkled fire on the apostles. Tongues of fire were on that. And it was a very good, powerful fire. It led to great waves of conversion. It led to the unlocking of spiritual gifts. It was really beautiful, Pentecost, to be sprinkled with fire, to be salted with fire. And so Jesus says, salt is good. This fire is good, as long as you don't let it go, or misuse it, or try to claim it as something of your own or your own power. No, salt is good. Fire is good. The fire of God's love, the wisdom of God is good, but it must be respected, used properly. Yeah. So he says here, keep salt in yourselves. Keep fire in yourselves. Don't let your love of God and your love of neighbor get burned out, and don't let it explode and destroy you. No, keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. So this is an example of how the Word of God expands our understanding of how we are to live, goes beyond our natural wisdom, and takes us to the level of the love of God. How does God love? Well, he loves without limit, but he doesn't let his love get manipulated. He's not in our hands, we are in his hands. He's the potter, we're the clay. So the fire of God's love is for our good if we submit to it. And if we don't, we get burned by it. So this is wisdom. The wisdom of God, which is precious, it's consoling, but it's also challenging. It's asking us to rise to a higher level, not to cling to our own will, our own ways, our own gifts, but to be children of God. God who salts us with his wisdom, salts us with the fire of his eternal love.